Hello. Hi, good morning, SP. Welcome to EMP. My name is Ian. I'll be giving the message this morning. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you have given us life each morning to start afresh. I thank you, Lord, that your mercy is on you every morning as well. And Lord, we just commit our ways. We'll commit this day. We'll commit this weekend to you. And we just leave this at your feet, Lord. And we just pray that this weekend will be a time of refreshment. We pray this weekend will be a time of rest. We pray this weekend will also be a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving, knowing that you are our Lord and you are enough. Lord, we love you this morning, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us in parallel tracks and in ways beyond human ways and beyond the message, Lord. And we just thank you so much and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So my message today will be about peace. Now, I'm sure we've all heard lots of messages and sermons about peace. And yet, for me personally, I keep forgetting what it means to have peace. I keep forgetting what it looks like to have godly peace. So maybe I'll start with a question. What does it look like to you to have peace? All right? What does peace look like for you? Does peace look like a vacation in a tranquil place? Maybe it's when the children are asleep, if you have young children. Or maybe it's when you've done all the tasks on your to-do list. We all have lots of to-do lists. Or maybe it's when you've read and answered all your emails, you've done all the things that you need to do at work. Or maybe you're longing for something and you want something and you haven't achieved that, you haven't obtained that, and you're thinking to yourself, once I get there, once that happens, I will finally have peace. I'll finally be able to rest. Does it sound familiar to any of you? I think we can all relate to having lots of things that we hope will either go away, you know, whether it's work, the to-do lists, or even your children. The absence of that longing, perhaps, that gnawing at you will give you peace finally. And I think that's why a lot of people turn to things like Buddhism, because there's just so much things and there's so much going on in the world that you just want to extract yourself, right? But I think the biblical peace that Jesus is talking about is not the absence of something. It's not the absence of your wants. It's not the absence of, you know, people constantly seeking your attention. In fact, it's both, right? It's both the absence of something which is destroying or robbing you of your peace, the absence of that, but also, very importantly, the presence of something far greater, something eternal. It's the presence of God. So it's both. So my formula is the peace that I need is the absence of the worldly cares and the presence of God. And the verse for today is John 14, chapter 14, verse 27. And here Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I'll read that one more time. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I think the more I meditate on that verse, the more I see how beautiful and important it is. Most of the time, I'm thinking about how I'm going to obtain my peace from external ways, from things I can control. You know, most of the time I'm praying and kind of, it's almost like a verbal diarrhea. I'm pouring out all my anger, my disappointments to God. And I'm thinking, by doing that, I'm going to get peace. But the verse reminds us that actually Jesus said, it's my peace I give to you. He has a transcending peace, which he's saying, I'm giving to you. Right? And as believers, as Christians, we know that we have this peace. But my personal take on it now is that I constantly have to ask and say, Jesus, I receive your peace. You know, I'm not just offloading my burdens on you. I'm also actively saying and taking your peace that you told me you're giving me. I'm receiving that. I'm taking that. You know, I'm even claiming that in faith. Because it's this peace that is the peace I want. It's the lasting peace with God that I want. I don't want something that is transitory. Right? The vacation that I'll go on, right, once COVID is over, that's transitory. I know once I finish my vacation, I'll be back into Hong Kong. I'll be back into the hustle and bustle, and I will lose that peace. You know, I know that if I have my parents over to take care of my children and I go out for dinner with my wife, I know I'll have lots of peace during that time when children are not crying and everything. But I know once I get home, there won't be that peace again. But the most important thing is that I will have that deep underlying peace from God. There's this image of rough waters, right? And if you remember, the disciples were in the boat, and the boat was shaking, and the winds were turning around, and Jesus was sleeping in the boat, right? And the disciples couldn't sleep because the waves were tossing and turning, right? And then Jesus wakes up, and he says, "You of little faith." And, you know, I was just having that image in my mind and thinking, okay, the waves are what we see in front of us, the circumstances. But deep down, if you think about deep down in the sea, if you were to dive all the way down in the sea, it's completely still. It's completely quiet, right? There'll be fish, there'll be octopus, eels, but there are no waves because you're all the way deep down in the sea. And I think that's where we need to go down. We need to reach beyond the surface, and we need to go and find that deep peace that Jesus has promised us. The reality is that peace is a figment in our minds. It's a lot to do with our minds. It's a lot to do with how we interpret the circumstances, right? I would say some are naturally prone to worry and have anxiety, and some are less prone to that. Majority of people I've met are prone to worry. The majority of people I've met in Hong Kong, including myself, are prone and have a disposition to worry. I think in my life, I have met maybe just a handful, maybe one or two only, people that constantly are not having, they don't have something they worry about. They're not worrying about tomorrow. They're not worrying about the fact they haven't, you know, back then done their homework. It's not that they are irresponsible, but they're just living life in the moment. And I really admire these people. But for the rest of us, normal people, I think we can say perhaps we tend to worry a bit more than others. And therefore, my conclusion is that we need something supernatural. We need something supernatural to stop us from having these worrying fits, right? And as I was thinking about this message, I felt there were a few parts to this, and few ways to go about seeking and maintaining this peace. And so at the start, I said there's an absence and there's a presence, right? So the absence, what is the absence worth seeking, right? The absence that we should be seeking in fact, is in three ways. The first one is the absence of the enemy, right? I know that there's no real thing about the absence of the enemy, because we know that the Bible teaches us and tells us that Satan, our enemy, is prowling around like a lion, waiting to attack, waiting to devour us, right? The enemy is waiting to rob us of our peace. And so we need to be aware, and we need to shun, and we need to stand firm, so that, as the word says, in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? Submit yourselves to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? James 4, verse 7. And so there is that absence then. When we submit ourselves to God and we resist the devil, he will flee from us. The word tells us. Right? So that's the absence of the enemy. It's interesting that the verse in James 4, 7 actually starts off with submit yourselves to God. And that's the part I miss out. Submit yourselves to God brings me to the second point of absence. Submit yourselves to God is, in my life, the sins that I'm committing, or the secret sins I haven't confessed. Right? When I submit myself to God, I think about what's wrong in my life and what the Holy Spirit is revealing to me that I'm not doing right. And often, it could be a sin that I hold on to. It could be a sin that I keep doing. Unconfessed sin. Living in sin will always rob us of the peace from God. Right? So we need to confess our sins. We need to stop doing our sins. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the things, the hidden things we're doing, which is not pleasing God. And then thirdly, this is just a practical point. It's to stop putting ourselves in environments which are compromising our peace. It's stop putting ourselves, gluing our eyes, let's say, to the stock index, right? It's stop looking constantly on LinkedIn or Instagram or social media, right? It distorts and influences our thinking, right? If this is a battle for our minds, then we need to make sure that we're not putting our minds in places and directing our attention into places which is going to rob us of our peace. It's going to cause anxiety, right? I know that we all have WhatsApp, and we all have WhatsApp groups. They're the groups where people are constantly talking about schools or children. I mean, groups where you know those people are constantly complaining, right? They're constantly striving for something. When people congregate together, you know, I've seen groups where people are just negative all the time. They're always saying this and that. They're complaining about this. They're complaining about the world. They're complaining about the government, let's say. They're complaining about their bosses. They're complaining about their wives. They're complaining about their children. Avoid these groups. Avoid these chat groups. Leave. Leave. Exit. Right? Stay in your house church chat group and absorb all the goodness that's coming from there. The things that scare us, right? The things that make us anxious. Just try to extract yourselves from those environments. Right? So the absence of the enemy, the absence of sin, and the absence of compromising environments will help to maintain our peace. So we've got the absence, right? But what about the presence? So the presence of God, right? How can we break that down a bit more? Well, most of the time, I think in Hong Kong, the one thing that will help is just to remind ourselves of the sovereignty of God, right? The sovereignty of God in the first world where most of us and the listeners will be living, we feel things are out of our control, right? And it's the sovereignty of God that God is completely 100% sovereign, right? He's omniscient. He can do everything, and there's not one thing that goes without him noticing, right? He notices and knows every single strand of hair on our heads. And that's comforting for me. It's comforting to know that my God is a God who's sovereign and is all-powerful. And that presence of that powerful God in my life can anchor my soul in peace. The second one is to remind myself that God is ultimately my provider, right? He's not just a powerful and sovereign God. He's the God that cares for me. He's the God that gave manna to people in the desert when they needed food, right? He's my provider. He made me with the skills. He made me with the intellect. And he made me with the abilities to provide for myself. He is my provider. He provides in natural ways, and he provides in supernatural ways. And the third one is that God created us and created me for a purpose. I think peace, to go back to the example of the holiday, is not about not doing anything. I think in the last message I gave, I said, you know, we're not created to do nothing, right? Peace is not when we've done everything and we've done all the tasks. Because when we've done everything, we might feel a momentary relief. But then when there's nothing to do, then there's no peace again. Because we were created innately to be doing and actively doing something. If you notice in the natural world, there are mushrooms, there are trees, there are shrubs. I'm glad I'm not a tree. I'm not a shrub. I'm not a mushroom. Because they don't do much. Well, they do provide food and they do provide oxygen. But they're not really doing anything. God created his creation and he created us in his image. Right? We're not mushrooms. We're not trees. So we're created to be actively doing something. We've got hands. We've got minds. We've got eyes. We've got mouths. We are constantly working. And God is constantly working as well. We have a part to play in building his kingdom. And so this purpose is important to understand, that we must focus our purpose on building his kingdom. And if we lose that purpose, we lose that focus on his kingdom, naturally, we also lose peace. So there's the absence of the enemy, the absence of sin, absence of toxic environments. Then there's the presence and the reminder of a sovereign, powerful God, the one who provides for us, and the one who's also created us for a purpose. Right? And Jesus reminds us that he created us for a purpose. Right? And he created us so that we can be in community with him. And just reminding ourselves of those things will help to anchor us in that peace. And there's this much used and much read verse in Matthew 6:26, which I know you've all read, but it's so wonderful to read it out loud again. Right? So Matthew 6:26 goes like this. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like any of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." It's a battle for our minds. Right? Romans 12, verse 2 reminds us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And a verse in Philippians reminds us that the Lord is near. Jesus, and it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think that peace can also be robbed from us because we might be going through heartache. And most of the message today has been focused on the things that normal circumstances, rob us from, and when things are more or less normal. But I think Jesus realized, and we have to acknowledge that peace also comes sometimes from external things that happen to us out of our control and causes us heartache or causes us sadness. And that's why this verse in Philippians, which I just read out, is just really encompasses and covers all that. Because it says, do not be anxious about anything, right? But in every situation, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the last one in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Transcending all understanding is so soothing for me, because when I'm at the end of my mind's wit, when I can no longer make sense of things, whether I'm going through sadness, loss, or anything, transcending all understanding is what I need God to help me do, because I cannot work it out for myself, but I know that my God is a just and fair God. I know that my God is a sovereign God who is in control. When he transcends that understanding, when he goes beyond what my human mind can understand, perhaps that's what Jesus meant. I guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And with all these verses in the Bible, that also points to a God that loves us so dearly. It points to a God that knew we would be going through discomfort. He knew we'd be going through challenges. In fact, Jesus warned his disciples the same thing. And our God, our Heavenly Father, left us with these amazing verses in Scripture for our comfort, knowing that this is a temporary place, but we have an eternal home where we can anchor ourselves as well. So I'm just going to invite Ernie for worship as I will close in prayer. Father God, Lord, however we are this morning, whatever is going through our minds, our hearts, whatever we've been through this week, whatever we're worrying about, whatever is weighing us down, whatever is robbing us of the peace that we so seek and need, God, we just ask that you will come and lead us through your Holy Spirit. Alert us, Lord, to the lies, to the accusations that the enemy might try to say, that the enemy might try to put to us. Help us stand firm, that the enemy will flee and stop robbing us of our peace. And Holy Spirit, search our hearts and search our minds. Reveal to us the things that are not pleasing you. Reveal to us our hidden sins. And help us and move us, Lord, to confess these to you and to one another, so that we may have peace with you first. And give us wisdom to leave and stop doing the things that are naturally going to disrupt this peace that we seek. Give us wisdom to stop doing the things and to leave the places that are robbing us of that. And God, we just continue to abide in you. We acknowledge and we proclaim and we declare that you are sovereign and you're in control of everything in our lives, every situation, everything that was past, present, and the future. We know you are the provider and the great provider. We know we don't need to be rich in the worldly sense to be rich in you. We know you are the one that cares for us. And Lord, we know that we have a purpose. And that purpose, as we direct our skills and talents in doing the things that you've made us for, and doing those things really well, we know that you got pleased. And in turn, we are pleased. And in turn, we will have that peace as we toil for that thing that we've been made for uniquely. So God, we thank you for your word and for scripture that reminds us and comforts us and consoles us, Lord. We pray these things will always anchor us in the circumstances as we go through our daily lives here on earth. Lord, we love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.